Lord God, this morning we ask you to be with us in these words, these praises. Lord God, our thoughts of, it doesn't matter what's happening around the world. It doesn't even happen what's going on outside these walls, Lord. Lord God, we need to fix our eyes on you each and every day. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, just so that you know, I've heard a lot of you guys telling me that it's snowing just because I'm telling God I want to see snow. Is that right? Okay, so what I'm saying now is I've heard a lot from you. Now I have a microphone. So I just want to point out to you guys that in everything that God teaches a lot of different stuff. What's the earliest anybody was awake this morning? Six. Five. I hear five. Can we go lower? Four. Do I hear four? Yeah, probably the kids were probably up at four. All right, so 5:30, I was out shoveling snow. Anybody shoveling snow? She was shoveling snow for you. Gracious woman. All right, need to buy her a snowblower. All right, yeah. 5:30 out shoveling snow, and I as I'm starting out, I'm saying, Lord, there's got to be a sermon illustration in this, or else what am I doing out here shoveling snow? So it's like, Lord, I'm ready for you to teach me. It's not very warm out. And interesting enough, as I'm going along, last night, I don't know where you guys are, but there in the first wave of snow, the first wave of snow came, and about 10 feet from the garage, there was this drift that started. So drift number one started, and it was the heavy snow that you want to make a snow fort out of or hide behind when you do have a snowball fight, right? And you just grab there, and it packs really well and also hurts a lot harder when you get hit, right? So that was the first wave. And then there was a second snow drift that was really loosely packed. I mean, it was coming down from like probably last night or so. And then I said, Lord, that this is not helping me out. You don't do things in twos. And then the Lord said, then the snowplow came through. And the guy smiled at me and waved as he's plowing and making a third rift there. And so that was even more packed than everything else. And so after an hour, the Lord has graciously reminded me of what I love, and that's taking snow and moving it somewhere else. So we're looking at that, oh, Lord, three snow drifts. There's got to be something biblical in this, Lord. And so when we take a look at your gospel reading this morning from Luke chapter 24, we want to take a look at three different verses this morning, starting at Luke chapter 24, verse 44. All right, so if you would, read this with me. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So interesting is what he's trying to do here. They don't have the Old Testament as we have the Old Testament. They don't call it the Old Testament because they don't even have the New Testament. It's just a testament at that point. And so they just call it the Scriptures. So number one, Jesus is trying to say, okay, everything I spoke to you, I taught you. And so what I taught you is this, the law of Moses, what he's trying to boil down. Law of Moses, anytime you see the law of Moses in Scripture, it typically means the first five books of the Bible. The Torah, what Moses wrote. And so in the Jewish faith, the cornerstone, the very cornerstone, everything that they read out of, the Torah, first five books from Genesis to Deuteronomy, that's really important, all right? So those first five books. So that's called the law of Moses. The prophets, you've heard about the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the testifying to what the Lord would do later, and so the fulfilling of Christ being born in Bethlehem, that's all in there. And the Psalms, what that is alluding to is what's called poetry, poetry writing, Psalms. If you look at a lot of the Old Testament, it's meant to be from music. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. So what Jesus is trying to point out is everything in what we call the Old Testament is about Jesus. All right, so Genesis, man sins, and what Jesus does is he says, okay, look at what God's response is. God's response, instead of destroying them on the spot, was said, I'm going to send someone to pay for what you have done. And so he looks at Jesus, the foreshadowing of who Jesus would be. And so he's pointing everything that has happened from the creation of the world up until this point has been pointing right to me. All right, so Luke 24, verse 44. All right, so we take a look and we go a little bit backwards and we take a look at when Jesus was talking to a group of a couple of guys. They were going on the road to Emmaus, and he was taking a look at these guys going along. He's like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" He's like, "These guys are like, we don't know what to do with this. All right, we were a part of these believers, and the guy that we thought was everything, well, he's been put to death, and it's been the third day. He told us it." On the third day, he would rise again, and our women went to the tomb, found it empty. We don't know what to do with this. And so, if you would, read along with me. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's a long walk. That's a long walk. And so what Jesus does is he points back to, okay, what has been written? What has been written? What have you been taught? What have you been taught? All right, so he keeps going back, and you were always taught these things, and now it's happened. Then how do you make sense of it? Go back to what you have been taught. Okay, so remember, how many snowdrifts did I have this morning? That must have been biblical. It must have been God telling me something was going on. Because we look at Luke chapter 24, verse 6 and 7. We look at the women going to the empty tomb that morning. And what do we see here? We see that the angels are proclaiming to them something. Let's read this together. He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And so what Jesus is trying to say is, okay, guys, remember what I taught you? Remember what was written in the scriptures from the Old Testament? Remember all that he has taught you. Remember all these things. Remember. It all goes back to what's been taught to you. And so interesting enough is he told you he was going to do this. So I don't think it's just coincidence here that in Scripture that Luke is a doctor by trade. When you look at Luke's Greek, it is beautiful. It's also the hardest one of all the Gospels. That's why some of us avoided that class at seminary. But when you look at this and you look at Luke's gospel, he is trying to paint this beautiful Picasso. And in this one chapter, he reminds us three times in three different stories that Jesus was proclaimed even in the Old Testament. So what you can see is the Lord's coming back and saying, remember. This morning we go back and we remember all that the Lord has taught us this morning, that he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, yet on the third day he would rise again. And that's where we anchor our faith in. And Luke was trying to say in his day, when he was writing, You put stuff out there three times, and three times make a biblical truth. Peter, when he denied Jesus, how many times did he do it? All right, so he went out and wept bitterly because he, by denying three times, he said, it is true, I don't know Jesus. He denied his best friend big time, I don't know him. Three times, when the rooster crowed, three times, I remember, I don't know him at all. Then when he is sitting by the lake, and Jesus goes up to Peter, and he wants to tell Peter, it's okay, I forgive you. And he goes up to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? And how many times does he say it? Three times in the writings of the gospel era, three times makes something a truth. That's why I have to remind you three times, over and over again, I'm saying the same words three times, is because three times make a truth. And so interesting about Luke is the way he's writing. If you see three different stories, three different times, the Lord is basically saying the same thing, is that Jesus was always, from the beginning, set to die and rise again. And so, interesting enough, it's all about the forgiveness and repentance that comes from knowing who Jesus is. So very interesting is the Lord did not waver. When things got tough, he did not waver. He kept his mind, he kept his thoughts on the cross. When he goes off to pray in the garden, how many times does he go off and say, if it is your will, then that's what's going to happen? How many times does Jesus go off and pray? Three times. Scripture happens three times. We look at God, and God has three personages, and Father, Son, and the Bible is packed about threes. And so this morning, I hope you guys remember that the Lord is not slow in his promises to us, even today, that he has not forgotten us, that these words are for us, hopefully to teach you that he will not waver in what he has done for us, that this is not our home. I'm sorry, we can't stay in the snow forever. Even though you guys, I really understand, you guys want to stay in this world. But there's some place without any of this stuff, any distractions, and the Lord wants us to remember, to remember, to remember. Our life is to stand before holy God and to be able to worship and praise him without anything in between us, without anything coming before us. And right now, that is sin. Right now, it's sin. Every single problem in this world can be connected with sin. And yet the cross has bridged that divide. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that, Lord God, we remember that you came to die, that we remember, Lord, that you came to forgive. And Lord God, you came to take us to a new home. So, Lord God, as we are looking forward to that day, we are looking forward to the day in which you will call us to our heavenly home. We are looking forward to a day that you will return and restore all to this planet. Lord God, help us understand that, Lord God, you are calling us to a new life in you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.